Praise the Lord this morning, saints. Praise ye the Lord this morning. Thank you so very much for joining Everyday Word. Welcome to Everyday Word, the daily podcast of DJ DEA, where we read, comment, and pray on the Word of God, book by book, Genesis to the book of Revelation, in a brief but serious lighthearted, amen, 30-minute format. The Word of God says in Psalm 119:105 that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Today is podcast number 151, and I'm your host, Pastor Derek Dawkins. Amen, amen. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. Today we're going to be in the book of, we're still in the book of 1 Samuel. Very interesting story here in 1 Samuel. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 10, 11, and 13. Today. Wait a minute. 11, 12, and 13. Wait, let me back up. I always get it wrong. 10, 11, and 12 today. 10, 11, and 12 today is where we're going to be. Good morning, Sister Watson. Good morning, Sister Dupree. Thank you so very much for joining us. Amen, amen. And that's where we're going to be today, 1 Samuel. If you didn't hear me, 1 Samuel chapter 10, 11, and 12. Amen. Now, as you make your way there, we're going to go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. This morning's prayer is going to be a prayer that is focused on the purity of heart. The purity of heart. Pray with me. Would you pray? Oh, Lord God, we thank you this morning, Father God, for waking us up and starting us on our way. We thank you, Lord God, who delights in a clean heart. Father God, we don't come relying on our personal righteousness, Lord God, but trusting solely in the merits of your beloved Son, Lord God, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Father God, for his sake, forgive us of our sins, create in us a clean heart, and renew a loyal spirit within us, Lord God. Father, remove from our minds all evil desires. Cast out from our life all greed, all envy, all anger, all hatred, all pride, and all vanity, Lord God. Spare us, Lord God, from an accusing conscience. Fill our soul, Lord God, with love for you and a spirit of service to all people, Lord God. Father, we're asking this morning that you grant us strength to resist and overcome temptation. Clothe us with the garment of righteousness, Lord God, that Jesus won for me on Calvary. Cause us, Lord God, to grow in grace before you and increase in works of love as long as we live. And when our life comes to a close, Lord God, give us a place with you in heavenly glory. Father God, would you forgive us for our sins as we forgive those who sin against us? Would you fill us anew with the Holy Spirit this morning? This we ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, if you have your Bibles with you today, turn with me to the book of Samuel. We're going to be starting in Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. This is the word of God. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and put it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed your commander over his inheritance? When you have departed from me today, you will find two men in Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin and Zelzah. And they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, what should I do about my son? Verse 3, then you shall go on forward from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. There three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God, where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen, and when you have come there to the city, that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from a high place with string instrument, a tabernacle, a flute, and a harp before them. And they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs come to you, that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. You shall go down before me in Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and to make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you, and show you what you should do. So it was, when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, that God gave him another heart. Gave him another heart. Praise the Lord. And all those signs came to pass that day. When they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it happened, when all who had knew him formerly saw that he indeed prophesied among the prophets, that the people said to one another, "What is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" Then a man from there answered and said, "But who is their father?" Therefore became a proverb, Is Saul also among the prophets? And when he had finished prophesying, he went into the high place. Then Saul's uncle said to him and his servant, "Where did he go?" So he said, to look for the donkeys. And when we saw that they were nowhere to be found, we went to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, "Tell me, please, what Samuel said to you." So Saul said to his uncle, "He told us plainly that the donkeys had been found, but about the matter of the kingdom, he did not tell him what Samuel had said." Verse 17. Then Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah and said to the children of Israel, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you from the hand of the Egyptian and from the hand of the kingdoms and from those who would oppress you." Now, let me stop right there for one quick second. Isn't this something about God? He keeps reminding you what he did for you. My God, he keeps reminding you where he brought you from. He keeps reminding you where he took you out of. Okay? And so we have to be reminded. You better never forget where God has brought you from. My God, you better never forget. I know I'd never forget where God has brought me from, how he changed my life, how he turned me around and put my feet on solid ground. I was a mess in my life at one time, you see, but God. Verse 19, "But you have today rejected your God, who himself saved you from all your adversities and your tribulations, and you have said to him, 'No, set a king over us.' Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans." And when Samuel had caused all the other tribes to Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Machri was chosen, and Saul the son of Kish was chosen. But when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, "Has the man come here yet?" And the Lord answered, "There he is, hid among the equipment." So they ran and brought him from there. And when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upward. And Samuel said to all the people, Do you see him who the Lord has chosen? That there is no one like him among all the people. So all the people shouted and said, "Long live the king." Then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and valiant men went with him, whose hearts God had touched. But some rebels said, "How can this man save us?" So they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, "Make a covenant with us, and we will serve you." And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, "On this condition I will make a covenant with you, that I may put out all your right eyes and bring reproach on all Israel." Then the elders of Jabesh said to him, "Hold off for 7 days, that we may send messengers to the territory of Israel. And then, if there is no one to save us, we will come out to you." So the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul and told the news in the hearing of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. Now there was Saul behind the herd from the field. And Saul said, "What troubles the people that they weep?" And they told him the words of the men of Jabesh. Then the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard the news, and his anger was greatly aroused. So he took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces and sent them throughout all the territory of Israel by the hand of the messengers, saying, "Whoever does not go out with Saul and Samuel to battle, so it shall be done to his oxen." And the fear of the Lord fell on all the people, and they came out with one consent. And when he had numbered them in the Bezek, the children of Israel, were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said to the messengers who came, "Thus you shall say to the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow by the time the sun is hot, you shall have help." Then the messengers came and reported it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the man of Jabesh said, "Tomorrow we will come out to you, and you may do with us whatever seems good to you." So it was, on the next day, that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came in the midst of the camp in the morning, watched and killed the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it happened that those who survived were scattered, so that no two of them were left together. Then the people said to Samuel, "Who is he who said, 'Shall Saul reign over us?' Bring them in, that we may put them to death." But Saul said, "Not a man should be put to death this day, for today the Lord has accomplished salvation in Israel." Then Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us go to Gilgal to renew the kingdom there." So all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they made sacrifices of peace, offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel greatly rejoiced. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1. Now Samuel said to all Israel, "Indeed, I have heeded your voice and all that you said to me, and have made a king over you. And now here is the king walking before you, and I am old and gray-headed." Hallelujah. Thank you. "And look, my sons are with you. I have walked before you with my childhood to this day. Here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I received any bribe with which to blind my eyes? I will restore it to you." And they said, "You have not cheated or oppressed us, nor have you taken anything from any man's hand." Then they said to him, "The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day that you have not found anything in my hand." And they answered, "He is witness." Then Samuel said to the people, "It is the Lord who raised up Moses and Aaron and brought your fathers up from the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to your fathers and to you and your fathers." And he's going to recount this now, beginning at verse 8. "When Jacob had gone into Egypt and your fathers cried out to the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron and brought your fathers out of Egypt and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, commander of the army of Hazor, into the hand of the Philistines, into the hand of the king of Moab. And they fought against them. Then they cried out to the Lord and said, 'We have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtoreths. But now deliver us from the hand of our enemies, and we will serve you.' And the Lord sent Zerubbabel, Bedan, Jephthan, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelt in safety. And when you saw that Nahash, king of the Amorites, came against you, you said to me, 'No, but a king shall reign over us,' when the Lord your God was your king." My God. Verse 13. "Now therefore, here is the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired. And take note, the Lord has set a king over you. If you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God. However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is today not the wheat harvest? I will call to the Lord, and he will send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord. And ask, and ask in a king for yourselves." Excuse me for a second. God is telling us right there that to ask for a king is wicked. I'm going to give you what you asked for. So Samuel, verse 18, "So Samuel called the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And the Lord greatly feared, and the people The Lord ain't feared nobody. Help me, somebody. Let me correct that. The people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord, your God, that we may not die. For we have added to our sins the evil asking a king for ourselves. Have you added to your sins today? My goodness. Verse 20. Then Samuel said to the people, do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord. But serve the Lord with all your heart, and do not turn aside. For then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Verse 23, moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. My goodness, if you still do evil, you will be swept away, both you and your king. America, if you still do evil, you will be swept away, both you and your king. Help me, somebody. I tell you, yeah, he brought you a mighty long way. Amen, Sister Johnson, and you and me both, all of us, he brought a mighty long way. And that's why God continues, amen, to remind us of where he brought us from. You see, I know, I mean, I like to remember where God has brought me from. Thank you. Okay, because it's so very important to remember where God has brought you from. I lost my place here. Where was I at? Here's where I was. It's so very important to remember where God has brought you from. It's so very important to remember the state of your life. Amen, before coming to Christ. Some of us can't remember back that far, you know, if you will, but some of us do remember. I know I remember how I came up, you know, and the things that I did in my life. And I wasn't a mean or a nasty or a really evil dude coming up. Nah, God had his hand on me since day one. But there are some things that I've done in my past that I wasn't proud of. And God has brought me out of that situation, amen. And he always reminds them that I brought you up out of Egypt. And when God tell you he brought you up out of Egypt, he brought you up out of hell, really. He brought you up out of mess, you see. There was a formal study of Christian leaders. And what was discovered, that without exception, all of them possessed word gifts. They possessed teaching, prophecy, evangelism, preaching, words of knowledge or wisdom, exhortation, etc., you see. And more than anything else, they used their gifts of communication to what? To lead their people. Peter Drucker, who is the father of American management, believes that 60% of all management problems result from faulty communication. Hallelujah. Faulty communication. Because having a message doesn't matter if leaders don't communicate clearly and motivate others. Your message is useless. If you can't clearly motivate or can't clearly communicate your message, it is useless, you see. And it is amazing how God has wired us. We can listen to a leader flap his lips, flap his gums for 30 minutes, flinging thoughts back and forth and ideas about the room. And he just talks, open his mouth to make a few sounds. And yet we want to get up and pursue the very ideas that came out of his mouth. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? My goodness, the power of communication. The power of communication. My goodness. Proverbs 18:21 tells us, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That little piece of meat in between in your mouth is the most powerful thing on your body. Not your mind, not your strength in your bones, but your mouth, your tongue. Because your tongue can start wars. It can start fires. It can start destruction if you're not careful, you see. What kind of communication? During his day, Samuel was Mr. Communication. Oh, he knew how to communicate. And you know, every now and again, you'll find individuals that know how to communicate. Former President Barack Obama was a great communicator. Dr. King was a great communicator. You see, and you notice that when we have these great communicators, that you are rapt at attention to the words that come out of their mouth. You see, and they can make or break you. My goodness, they can make or break you. And so, Brother Samuel was a Mr. Communicator. You see, he could communicate. He can really do his thing, if you will. But what kind of communicator was he? You see, well, let's look at some examples here of what kind of communicator he was. First of all, he spoke words of revelation. He spoke words of revelation. In check 2 Samuel chapter 3, Samuel said to all the Israelite people, if you truly want to turn back to the Lord, you must show that you mean it. Amen. You must remove all foreign gods and the images of Ashtoreth, and you must give your lives completely to the Lord. You must worship only the Lord. If you do that, you will be saved from the power of the Philistines. Amen. And I'm just saying, what I'm saying here is that these are words of revelation, right? Insights that the people lacked. It's a very serious words. He also communicated words of inspiration. We read this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 10. I'm gonna pull it up real quick so I can read it. 3-6. It told us that after you leave there, you would reach the big tree at Tabor, and three men will meet you there, and they're going to Bethel to worship the Lord God there, and one of the men will have three young goats with him, and one of them will have three loaves of bread. Well, I mean, these were just words of inspiration. He had three words of information. You must accept the bread, and those who say hello, and you will offer the bread, two loaves of bread. You must accept the bread, blah, 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 blah. You can read that for yourself right there. His communication inspired Saul to overcome his fears and step out. Have you ever been in a room where an individual will speak to you and that person motivates you to do something, to step out of your comfort zone? You see, because that's what's wrong. Many of us are in our comfort zone and we don't want to step out our comfort zone. So he was a great communicator because he spoke words of revelation. He spoke words of inspiration. He also spoke words of exhortation. Verse 24, 10:24, it said here, and I'm going to pull it up real quick. I'm going to read it real quick. That's what I'm going to do as soon as I find it. 10:24, it said here, and Samuel said to all the people, do you see him who the Lord has chosen? Is there, that there is no one like him among all of the people? His communication encouraged the people, brothers and sisters, to act and to follow Saul as their new king. You see, he spoke words of affirmation. In verse 24. This communication affirmed, it supported, amen, and it endorsed Saul publicly. Very, very, very important. When you have a team of individuals at a church, you have a pastor and deacons, they have to support one another. You see, there can't be a crack. You have to come out in support. And that's how one would be supported. And that's what Saul did. He supported them. He endorsed them. And he did it publicly. Amen. Then he spoke words of information. You see, his communication overflowed with good content, edifying content that was able to teach others. Amen. And then he spoke words of declaration, the Bible tells us. His communication gave clear direction to the people and hope for their future. And so how did Saul become, I'm not Saul, but Mr. Samuel, become a great communicator? He spoke words of revelation. He spoke words of inspiration. He spoke words of exhortation. He spoke words of affirmation. He spoke words of information. And then he spoke words of declaration. Amen. If we were to speak those words on a daily basis, our lives would be changed tremendously. Remember, the power of life and death lies right in your mouth. Amen. How many times you tell yourself that you're not good enough? How many times you tell yourself that God doesn't love you? By speaking those false narratives out of your mouth, you have to look in the mirror and tell yourself. I remember a long time ago, they used to, on Saturday Night Live, years ago, there was a skit where a guy was standing in front of a mirror, and he would speak in front of a mirror, and he would tell himself all of these silly things, and it was a silly skit, but it was so much truth in that. You have to tell yourself what God tells you and what God knows about you. You are of a royal priesthood. Help me, somebody. You are set aside. You are God's property. You belong to the Most High God. There is nothing. You are in His hand, and God has you in His hand, and nothing can snatch you out of the will of God, out of the hand of God. Nothing. You've got to affirm yourself, especially for those of you that suffer from depression and suffer from things of that nature. You've got to use your tongue to lift you up. You see. Now, how did he do it? How did Samuel do it? Each time Samuel spoke, he followed the rules. He followed these rules. He simplified the message. Help me, somebody. Today, in today's world, man, you've got so many people come up, man. Well, you got these messages. They're all over the place. You know, they want to be so, you know, so dynamic in their messages. You're totally confused. You don't know what this person was preaching about. Simplify your message. Whatever message that you have. And I'm not just talking about preachers. I'm talking about whatever message you may have. You have a message as a layperson. You've got a message. Simplify your message. Amen. He spoke forthrightly, clearly, and simply. No one wondered what he meant. My God, my God. Don't you get sick of those people that always speaking riddles? You got to figure out what they're talking about. What are you talking about? Say what you are talking about. I got to tell you, sometimes in the Bible, God speaks in riddles and parables. I'd be like, Lord, what is it that you're really trying to say? Amen. I'm certainly not going to sit up here and say I'm sick of that. Amen. But simplify the message. Secondly, see the person. See the person. He always empathized the others. He knew his audience. It's very important that you know who you're talking to. Know who you're talking to. Amen. Thirdly, show the truth. Samuel demonstrated credibility with his passion and his life. He lived what he said. You got folk up here. Let me just tell you, boy, I can stay on this right here. You got folk up here living all like the devil. And they got positions in the church. They might be deacons. They might be pastors or whatever the case may be. I know some deacons live all like the devil during the course of the week. And then come on Sunday morning with the Bible in the church and, you know, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, what was you doing during the course of the week? What was you doing during the course of the week? You have to have credibility. If you don't have credibility, nobody is going to listen to what you have to say. Lastly, seek the response. He always spoke with a purpose. Amen. When he finished, he urged the people to obey God. One of the things that God has placed on my heart today, I don't do with this evangelism that I do now. Let me tell you what I do. I go and tell people about Jesus Christ, and then I just ask a question right away. Do you want to be saved? That's it. And that's the question that I ask people now. Do you want to be saved? I don't have to go into this. I'll tell you about what God did. We're going to the Romans Road, and I'm going to ask you the question. Do you want to be saved? God is saying, seek the response. Seek the response. Go and ask him. Ask him right away. Do you want to be saved? All right, let's go it again. He did four things. He simplified the message. He saw the person who fully, he knew his audience. He showed the truth. He demonstrated credibility with his passion, and he sought the response. Amen. And Father, we thank and praise you for your word, your will, and your way, Lord God, in the blessed name of Jesus. Like Samuel, Lord God, let us learn. We're praying to learn to be great communicators, Lord God. Let our words be true. Let them ring true, Lord God. Let us speak words of revelation, words of inspiration, words of exhortation, Lord God, words of affirmation, Father, words of information, words of declaration, Lord God. Let us simplify the message. Let us see who we're talking to for real, Lord God. Show the truth. Be the truth. And look for the response in the blessed name of Jesus. As always, Lord God, let us always remember that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so, Father, we are praying that we give life in our tongues, Lord God, not death. We'll be careful to give you the glory and the praise that is due you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, listen, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. I'll be back before you tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock a.m., good Lord willing. God bless you all. Make sure that you love on somebody today just because God loves you so much. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in today. Amen. Have a great day on this beautiful day. It is going to be a gorgeous day today. Low heat and beautiful today. Amen. So God bless you all. Have a great day, and thanks for tuning in. Shalom.